You're listening to the Woman Who Chat podcast with me, your host, Sandra Garlick. A podcast where I chat to women in business who share their knowledge and top tips, especially for you. I also share my own tips to help you gain visibility fast so that you appear to be everywhere, even when you're not. I'm delighted to bring this podcast to you each week to inspire and motivate you to achieve. Enjoy the podcast. Woman Who Chat is sponsored by Grow Radio. Grow Radio is an online radio station dedicated to bringing you a different podcast on the hour, every hour. I'm proud that Woman Who Chat is played on Grow Radio every Tuesday at 3 p.m. and Friday at 8 a.m. and to be a part of their podcasting community. If you want to listen to the station, explore their shows, check out many of the blogs to improve your podcasting skills, or get your podcast onto Grow Radio, head over to growradio.uk today. Welcome to Woman Who Chat. And today I'm chatting to Michelle Walsh. Hello.
Hello, Sandra. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. I've been looking forward to our chat because I know a little bit about you, but not a lot, which is always good because it means we get to hear your backstory and a little bit about what you're doing now. So today we're going to chat all about belief and confidence and all that. But before that, tell me your journey. Tell me your backstory. How did you get to be doing what you're doing now?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, I started out in business at 18. I was a dance and aerobics teacher in the Jane Fonda days, the unforgiving Lycra days. I got married and I then went in to support my husband in the business he was in, which was computer services. Not my bag at all, but I was ready for a challenge for something new. And effectively, we ended up with a really successful business, but very unsuccessful marriage. You know, I think there was no separation. It was like work, and then there was no room for the marriage. So we ended up divorcing, and almost out of proving myself, I decided to take over as the sole director. In an industry where my husband was the salesperson, he was the central person in the business. He kept me very much undercover to the effect that when I did take over, people didn't even know who I was. Yeah, so I took over almost to prove a point, to prove that, you know, my logical thoughts at that time was, he's not cleverer than me. If he can do it, I can do it. And I did do it. And for 6 years, I maintained the success. But what I actually realized was there was no passion in it for me. There was nothing. I had everything outside of me. So a lot of the material trappings, the house, the car, the money. But the cost of that, it was like it was robbing my soul. And it was all stuff I didn't really know. You know, it's only looking back that I now know what it was doing, but how it left me was just feeling so empty. And I'd left it that long that I'm an all or nothing person. And what happened is, instead of recognizing the signs, realizing I needed to get out, I should have put the company up for sale and all this, but I didn't do any of that. I just kept going and going. And then it just got to that point where I thought, I literally can't do this any longer. And it was in the financial crash, 2007. The margins in our business were getting smaller. So effectively, I had all this stress and pressure and worry for not, you know, the returns on it were getting less and less. But I think the one thing that kept me into it longer than I should have been was that I had 50 women who worked for me. So we had 30 outworkers, and then I had 20 people in the office, and they felt like family. And I felt that if I walked away, I was letting them down. And then the worry of them having to find a new job and all that, it just kept me locked in, I would say, for at least a year longer than it should have done. And then it just got to the point where I made the decision. I just thought, you know, I've had enough, rang my accountant. And he said, well, it's not really in a liquidatable state. I thought, well, it will be. And literally a month later, I put it into voluntary liquidation and walked into an abyss. I mean, it was all I'd done for 20 years. Mm. I was very much a live in the moment person, had no understanding of looking after money or even growing money, because I'd always been able to make money. I lived in that moment. So I just knew that whatever it is I wanted to do, I'd make the money to do it. really irresponsible for somebody of my age. I was 48 at the time, and I literally walked away. And then I had to get a job. And it's really interesting. As an ex-MD, it's not that easy to walk into a job. And, you know, they talk about people inflating their CV. I kept having to bring it down and down. Till in the end, I think I'd put that I'd been an admin assistant or an admin manager. So, yeah, I just did what I needed to do. And then because I hadn't got a lot of money, I was sort of looking for different things to do. And I found a free coaching weekend. And I thought, oh, didn't even know what coaching was. Never heard of it. Not really touched on it. And I went away on this weekend and I thought, this is really, it would just really gripped me, because the thought that you could help somebody change their life was like, it was like a revelation to me. And because I'd naturally, through all my businesses, my whole thing had been about bringing out the best in women. So as a dance teacher, I did a lot of the once a week mums for aerobics, and it was like having fun and enjoying themselves, but getting fit, feeling good about themselves and confident. And the same with the computer business. And then that's it. I trained to be a coach. And it was really interesting how at the time I'd got no money and I was so determined to make it happen. It was almost like the mind found a way, and I found some funding for retraining people. And then that was it. And then, you know, I trained as a coach. I started doing people for free. The results I was getting were just crazy. But underneath all that, what I realized is that every woman in particular, and some men, were just lacking in confidence. It's like they achieved extraordinary things in their life, but never weren't recognizing it. It's like they just couldn't see it. Mm-hmm. And the real pivotal point for me was I had a coffee and a chat with a friend of mine who'd been in business 17 years. And she said, you know, that one mindset thing that you did with me last week, it generated an extra £3,000 in my business in 8 days. I was like, and so suddenly the penny dropped for me that there was this connection between your confidence and self-belief and putting yourself out there to allow yourself to earn more money. So I then became as Ms. Moneymaker, and that was about 10 or 12 years ago. And it was like really not a good thing in the UK, because we're not great at talking about money or owning the money. But I am still known as Ms. Moneymaker. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I do day in, day out now.
Yeah, and I remember the Jane Fonda days as well. When you said that, I thought, yep, I was in those classes.
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting what you say, you kept that business going even though you didn't want to. I resonated with that because I was in a similar situation. I didn't want to let the staff down. You know, I was paying their mortgages in effect. Yeah. And, you know, I kept thinking, I can't stop this business because I can't let them down because I'm their livelihood, to my detriment in a way. And
oh,
I think
me too. You know,
not only energy wise and burning myself out, but to my own financial detriment when I decided to merge the business. But yes, it's stepping away and doing something completely different. I completely get where you're coming from there. So why do you think that it is that women have, probably more than men, I would say, and you correct me if I'm wrong, why do women have these sort of lack of self-belief and these confidence issues, particularly around money, around other things, but, you know, about putting themselves out there? I mean, I'm all about visibility, but so many women say to me, I can't do what you do. So yeah. What is it? What do you think the root of it is?
Well, I mean, in the work that I do, it delves deep into childhood and what's happened as a child, and including myself, because I've actually done the journey that I obviously take my clients on. And there are pivotal things that happen as a child that weren't intentional, either by a teacher or a parent or a friend. Little things that were said that literally instills this seed that they're either not as good as, or not performing, or not pleasing parents because they're not achieving, you know, that our parents' map of the world of success is different to our own. And of course, then what happens in a way, women, you know, not so much now, but years ago, our role was very in the background. I mean, as it was in the business with my husband as a computer services, I was in the background. And I don't think we were taught to shine. And I always think this, that we need a bit of what have men got, because I think some men, not all men, can easily inflate their expertise.
Their egos, yeah.
Their egos. And women massively underplay their egos. And like I said, there isn't a woman that I don't work with or speak with or meet that they tell me the things they've done in a very matter-of-fact way. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it's like they don't recognise it. They don't see themselves. And it just gets buried under years of conditioning and expectations. And, you know, one thing, I had a session with a client not that long ago, and we just had a half an hour session, and she'd had a dynamic friendship dynamic as a child from primary school right the way through to senior school that had made her feel she was never number one. She was always the backup plan to her other friends.
Yeah.
And we literally took this thing out, this belief, the energy around it. And she said, I'd had it for 40 years.
Oh.
And she physically looked different, because when I met her at a networking event, I did my talk and she started crying. I was like, oh my goodness. Well, I was worried what I'd have said, but everything I'd said had spoken to her. And then literally, I think it was only 2 months later, she was a speaker at the event that I'd first met her. And she was a woman transformed. I just, it, you know, makes me go goosey now just to even think of it. She literally stepped into her own power and is rocking it now.
I'm briefly interrupting this podcast to tell you about the Woman Who Live and Awards Lunch on Friday the 10th of May. It's a morning of personal development, business growth and networking, and an afternoon of inspiration and celebration, all in the beautiful marquee at Coombe Abbey Hotel for 200 plus women in business and a few men too. If you're looking to get your product or service in front of my audience, I have some great sponsorship and partnership opportunities available. From branded table, pop-up banners, adverts, through to sponsoring the goodie bags. Interested? Visit womanwho.co.uk/events or get in touch for more information. Now back to the podcast. And it is those people around us. You know, you've brought back a memory, actually, that was long buried. I remember at school, and I was quite confident. My confidence grew through my infant and junior years, and I just was in a good place, I would say, confidence-wise. But that was because the teachers told me that I was good.
Yeah.
And we had top tables. And I was never on the top table, but I was very close to it. And sometimes I felt inferior to that, but it gave me that belief I could do it. And they let me sit on the top table one day. And I remember coming home to my mum and saying, I'm going to pass my 11 plus. And she said, oh, I don't know whether you're capable of doing that, you know. And I wanted to go to this school, top 100 girls in the city. I set myself that goal. I told everybody I was going to pass it. When I got that envelope with the results, I was in no doubt I'd passed and was going to that school. And I did. And I think because I've got that inner belief,
yes,
I really believed I could, so I did.
Yes.
I think it lost me later on. I lost it, but it came back again because I was in a marriage where I was put down. I was second, you know, I was told I wasn't any good at anything. And you start to believe that. And I think it's what people say to you and how you deal with it. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. Because I always think it's not what we say, it's how we say it. And I mean, two things that triggered something in me. I had the opposite impact when I passed my 11 plus, because I fortunately was one of the high flyers. My mom went into meltdown and complaining about how much the uniform and how much the cost of me, because I'd done this thing. It's like, oh, great. Oh, so you've passed your 11 plus. And I was like, oh, I thought it would be a good thing. All my friends were aspiring to this. And then I got the absolute opposite, like slating for putting my mum into a financial position. And the opposite end of it is now, is my daughter is a teacher. of primary school teachers. And she won't mind me, you know, if she listens and hears this, is that she is not one of the academic high flyers, but oh my goodness, she's like a Pied Piper with her children. Her whole essence of everything she does is making them believe. And if that's good enough, that's brilliant, you know? And I think that's where we need to reel back to starting to instill all this, is to change the minds and hearts of children to actually believe in themselves.
I mean, we've got some kids today that have grown up with reality TV and they've got that overbelief. Never forget interviewing a young girl for an apprentice job many years ago. And I said, if I could wave a magic wand, what job would you love? And she says, well, I'm learning the piano and I want to be on the X Factor and be rich. And that was her whole aspiration in life, was to go on the X Factor and be rich. And I thought, you know, a lot of these young people see YouTube and TikTok and all these things, and they actually believe that they can, but sometimes for the wrong reasons, that it sort of can become rich by just going on TikTok. I'll never have to work a day in my life, you know. And it isn't that easy, is it?
It isn't. And it doesn't matter what business. And, you know, I had a pretty strange journey in the fact that I'd had two successful businesses. So when I started my coaching business, I just thought I'd be like this overnight success. I thought, oh my goodness, everybody's going to know about me and I'm just going to be so busy. It's like, it's so not been that journey. But I am so passionate about it that actually that level of external success is not the focus anymore. Mm. The focus is impacting the lives.
So if somebody's listening to this and they're thinking, oh, you know, I could never do that. And that's what I get people saying to me. I could never do what you do. I could never stand on a stage. I could never do X, Y and Z. What would your advice be to them, really, you know, about how they deal with that? But, you know, maybe they have got a coach. Maybe they can't afford to go to a coach. And maybe they just need to do some inner work on themselves. What would be the sort of thing you'd suggest?
Oh, I mean, this is so easy for me to tap into, because when I went into the coaching thing, one of the first thing I did was stood up and speak, which I've been a performer all my life as a dance teacher, aerobics teacher. That wasn't a thing, but it was in a new arena. Visioning, imagining yourself, you know, in NLP, it's called modeling. So either choose somebody you know or imagine a version of yourself doing the thing that you want to do. Because here's the amazing thing. Your mind cannot differentiate between what's real and what we make up. So when they say fake it till you make it, it's really faking it in your mind. So imagining yourself. I do this exercise where close your eyes, bring all the things that you can. I mean, some people aren't actual visual, but, you know, all the feelings, all the sounds, all the smells of being in that next step level you know, little baby steps add to big steps. So maybe if you were a really big deal is doing a video on social media, or, you know, or going to a networking event. So practice it in your mind in the way you want it to pan out. So imagine seeing people smiling, or imagine people being friendly. And literally, I do a 4-minute thing every single day that steps into the energy of that next level me, of doing the next thing that seems scary right now. But then it's almost like I'm trying to make friends, taking myself outside the comfort zone and keep practicing it. I just put the timer on my phone, put my phone upside down. I stand up and I just act as if I'm, you know, like you said, receiving an Oscar, or, you know, doing a talk to 1,000 people, or whatever it is, the next thing, and keep practicing it. And then the mind memorizes it. It becomes a new memory, a new neural pathway for you to, it's a new option. And when that gets so strong, that almost becomes like a new default even before you've done it. And I've had clients that, you know, have aspired to reaching a certain level in network marketing companies. And they've imagined, you know, sashaying on the stage and receiving their thing. And when they've actually come to do it, it's actually almost seemed a little bit deflated, because they've practiced it so much in their mind. They've done it 1,000 times. And I know elite athletes do. I met a para Olympian who does the bow and arrow thing, you know, whatever it's called. Archery. That's it. It's too early in the morning for this. But it was in the 2012 Olympics, and her last arrow depended on the team winning the gold. And she said, I'd practiced it so much in my mind that when I came to do it, there was no pressure or stress. She'd just done it so often. So I would absolutely, definitely say to do that.
It's interesting because, you know, I do a lot of speaking, obviously. And all through my speaking journey, I visualized me actually delivering the keynote. So in my head, I've talked it. I've imagined the audience reaction. I've imagined where I've got to pause. And, you know, you were in the audience at an event recently where, you know, we were on stage at the end and we received a standing ovation for the day. And I've now got that implanted in my mind. So I know where I go and where I speak in future. Yes. I've got my standing ovation. You know, it's just those little things that you can latch onto that resonate with you, that you can actually think, yeah, I can do that. And, you know, back to my 11 plus again, I believed so hard that I could achieve that. I did.
Yes.
And I've used that without realizing what I was doing at the time, but I've used that for other things as well. When I think I've got a barrier in front of me or something or hurdle that's so hard to get over, I imagine I've already done it.
Yes. And I think that, you know, the mind is so powerful, but we've learned to gravitate towards the what if followed by worst case scenario. But if you just for a minute a day, you played that what if game and it was the best case scenario in any situation you've got, how much more fun and more positive and more believing would we be if we just played that game?
And it's the glass half empty, glass half full thing, isn't it? You know, every negative I have, and whether it's my broken bones, my tech glitches or whatever it is, every negative I have, I try and find the positive from it. Because I think if you're always in the, I used to say my mother is a very negative person. She's in a care home now, but everything I did growing up in the later years, she'd always say, oh, but what if that happens? And it was always the negative trying to pull me back down. And she did celebrate my wins. But the problem was I had to do it on my own because she was always looking for the biggest risk. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. And when you've grown up with that in your later years and somebody constantly saying you shouldn't do that, you think, oh, maybe I shouldn't.
Yes.
And you start to believe it.
Yes. And I always say this, you can take a belief from a limiting belief to an empowering belief by literally finding its opposite. So even if it's something like, you know, it's difficult to find clients, how nice would it be to believe that it's easy to find clients, you know, and when you know what the limitation is, just think of its opposite and feed into that.
Yeah, because you can actually put yourself into a negative state of mind. So if I sat there all day saying, I can't get up on that stage, I'm going to talk myself out of getting onto that stage. If I say I can't make money, I'm going to talk myself out of making money. So it's finding the positives to those. It's finding the positive affirmations, if you like, that go with that. Because if you believe you can, you will.
Yes. And I always think it's how you start your day. I mean, my intention for the day starts before I get out of bed. It's like I intend to have the best day, to have amazing things happen. I mean, and I'm with my husband. He's in the negative Nelly camp. I mean, he's fully entrenched. He's like fully signed up member. He's a top salesman, but he would be a super top salesman if he just pre-programmed more positivity. But I hear him talking to his client, to his colleagues, and as like I talk to him. So he is taking it on board slowly. But I think how you start your day is absolutely everything, and start with the intention of having the best day you could ever imagine.
Yeah. And you know, those curveballs will come. The curveballs do come, but it's how you prepare yourself. And if you're in that positive state of mind when they come along, you think, oh wow, you know, and it's easier to get over it, it's easier to deal with it. Yes, it might seem like a meltdown at the time. My laptop went at the weekend, it literally gave up the ghost, but I thought, oh well. So I managed to, you know, go to the local shop and buy a new one. You know, it was just literally that easy.
Yes.
You know, there is always an answer. There's always
I'm a solution focused person. And I think actually when you put yourself in a really positive state of mind, you're stronger and the solutions come quicker and easier.
Yeah.
Rather than getting stuck in the head and thinking, oh, now what? Oh, now what? Oh, that's it. Things come in threes. It's like, No, they don't. They never have. Only because you believe they will. You know, so yeah.
Maybe they did for me this week, but we won't go there.
Well, delete that. We're not having it. We're not repeating that.
Yeah, no, we're not. We're not. Things happen for a reason. I'm a big believer that everything in life happens for a reason. Every stumble, every setback is there to teach us something to be better in the future going forward.
Yes,
And I think if
definitely.
we use, positive energy and positive talk in that way, our beliefs and our confidence can be far superior to what we think we can do and
Yeah, and
achieve.
I think the energy of confidence, when you own how good you are at what you do for other people, feel it because they want that level of certainty that you're the person to help them get the result in their life or business. And if you're not feeling it, they're not feeling it, and you're repelling the people you want to work with.
Yeah. And it's almost like it's contagious, isn't it? So when people are around you and you've got that positive energy and you've got that confidence, people gravitate towards you because they want to feel it too. And it's
Yes.
like they think if they're in your aura and around you, it's going to rub off on them, which often it does because
Yeah.
there can be people you can inject your enthusiasm, positivity, and confidence into somebody else.
It's funny, I play tennis, and one of the ladies I play opposite, she's got a racket and it's happy or sad. And she spins it and she always goes, "Oh, Michelle's always happy." And the interesting thing, even if it lands on sad, I said, "Yes, well, that leaves me happy because I'm the opposite." So I think it irritates them, but I think they'd like a slice of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've almost run out of time, but before we go, I always ask my guests to leave the audience with a top tip or piece of advice. What would yours be?
Mine would be is to visualize the life you want. Visualize your next level confidence. Practice it every single day, just for 2 or 3 minutes, and make that your new default system because everything you desire is absolutely within you.
Thank you. It's been really lovely chatting to you, Michelle. That's Michelle Walsh, and I'll pop all your links in the show notes. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Sandra.
Thank you for listening to the Woman Who Chat podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Join me next week for more inspiration, learning, and top tips. In the meantime, visit womanwho.co.uk to find out how you can start your Woman Who journey or even feature on a future podcast. You can also join the Woman Who Achieves community on Facebook. The link is in the show notes. There, you'll get the opportunity to network, find support, and make new connections with over 1,000 women in business. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss next week's podcast. And if there are any topics you would like to hear, just get in touch with me, your host, Sandra Garlick.